Hey.
Okay, now I can.
Ha
I can
ha!
see me, but I can't see. So,
There you are.
there you are.
There you are. I
Jeez
see
Louise,
ya.
man. I don't know why it's not
Yeah.
working.
I love it.
I don't remember why the hell we met.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
For listeners out, you're getting probably a different sound quality from us because Kenny's in this is how much we love you guys, because Kenny's in Portland right now, and I'm in Florida covering the global pet show, and it's been kind of fun. But so we apologize if it's cackly or more cackly than Kenny are normally, but if this sounds a little...
Yeah, I'm on the same thing. I'm on an iPad, so I'm always cackly. So it's you that sounds cackly this time. You finally match me.
Oh, man. Just want to make sure, because I'm not using speakers or I'm not using a mic tonight. The mic doesn't seem to want to cooperate, so...
You actually traveled with a mic?
I did, yeah. I brought a little lavalier mic.
It's kind of like a loser move, huh?
It is, yeah. It is kind of a loser move. Yeah, it is.
Going through customs. I'm recording this podcast about four people listen to. I need to bring a mic. I'm a big shot, man. Pretty soon we're going to have 10 people listening. And you know.
It's true. I'm a podcaster. I need this stuff.
Excuse me, man. This is part of my profession. I am big leagues. I'm on iTunes. Oh, what a loser. That's awesome.
It's so good. It's so good. Man. What are you doing there? What are you doing in Portland?
No, we came down. This is Daniel's Christmas present.
Oh, right.
So what we did is we came down. Yeah. We're going to watch. We watched the... Watched Rockets last night. Watched the Celtics on Friday night.
Yeah.
We're going to take them to a nice steak dinner tonight.
Nice.
I think we're going to go see the Black Panther maybe a little
that's
later.
That's a great movie. It's such
supposed
a great
to be
movie.
Really good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked on that. We're going to just basically sleep in and then fart around the city again tomorrow. We had a good day today. We did a little shopping. He bought a bunch of workout shit.
Yeah. Nice.
Did a little food trucking.
Nice.
Which is always good.
Yeah. Portland food trucks, man. Yeah. Portland food. Did you go in a what's that donut place? Did you get that crazy donut from?
No, not yet. Everybody's been talking about that. You know, this is the fourth time I've been in Portland. I've never had a donut.
Really?
I can't remember the name of the donut.
Here's
what's
what
it
I'll
called,
say.
Dave? Dana? Voodoo donuts.
Yeah,
Dana's
voodoo donuts.
In the other room. Voodoo donuts.
The experience is better than the donut. So I went because somebody said you must do it. You can't leave Portland without, you know, doing the whole thing. I've only been there once, right? And I said, all right, you know, I'll go. And the shop itself is really cool. Like Voodoo Donuts it's in this really cool part of town. It's got this old vintage, you know, sign out front, and the shop itself is really cool. The donut was, quite frankly, if your bakers on Commercial Drive are up to the task, they're gonna do better donuts than the Voodoo Donuts.
I guess it's what you like, though. I mean, there's a lot, you know, like, remember when Krispy Kremes came out, everybody said it was the best donut in the world. I had it, it was okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, this is going to be one of those. Like, you're going to go,
all right,
I did it, but, you know? So.
Well, this is the fourth time down here, so I guess we probably should do it now.
Yeah.
But see, I'm doing the donut. I don't give a shit. You're right. Okay, I got to figure out what I know where it is now. I guess we'll get into donuts just this weekend. But I do want to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Because especially now that you said that that it's experience. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I didn't get on a rant. I really did not rant.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, you know, I was reading LinkedIn, and this guy actually, he's well-written. It's not him. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he wrote for Forbes. And they're talking that, you know, retail is not dead.
Yeah.
And that boring is going to be
The
issue, right? But, you know, I'm reading it, and, you know, and again, I kind of chimed in, of course, right?
Because you're talking about Steve Dennis.
That's right. It was actually good. It was well, It wasn't poorly written. It was a nice article. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But my thing was, you know, he's talking about, you know, retail, online sales have only taken 9 to 10% of retail. By 2025, it's only 20%. I'm thinking, buddy, it's only 10% now, and yet all we're all talking about is this issue.
Yeah.
So don't minimize it. It's massive.
Yeah.
And 20% is going to be a shitload of stores, a shitload of people out of work. It's just, this is a big freaking deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
The other thing is, what's boring? I think it's all boring right now out there. I don't find much excitement at all. So it's highly subjective. So you know what? As I'm thinking about it, so I'm thinking of what you just said. You know, you go to Voodoo and this place sounds like it's really great, but you weren't thrilled with the product. So that's good. So you got exciting, and still dead to you because next time you come back, you're not going to go because it doesn't do anything.
I'll go outside and take a picture people. From the outside.
Yeah, but whatever, right? But that doesn't do much for revenue.
Yeah.
Right. I guess the publicity. I guess, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah, but it's not going to benefit them. No, you're right. You're right.
Anyway, that was my thing. It wasn't a big deal, and it was well written. So it's not Steve Dennison's fault or issue. Yeah. What he wrote is accurate, etc. I just kind of find when they're simplifying it too much is a problem.
But you're right though. I mean, like you can only like retail can be exciting, but there's kind of this weird. It's like a weird balance, right? Because if you're small. And you have a boutique experience and you can mess around with it every day or something like that, then you might be okay. Then it won't be boring. Do you know what I mean? But you can't. But, like, it's funny because I went really hard at Albertsons for this today because I was on Retail Wire and I was just putting in commentary. And the article that was up was around Albertsons and how Albertsons has decided to open their kind of endless aisle marketplace stuff to smaller CPG companies. And the can't remember who it is, but one of the execs said, you know, if you're a smaller CPG, you're going to really struggle to, you know, get our attention in our bigger banner store. So we're going to open our online marketplace for you so you can, you know, sell through there. And I kind of crapped all over it because I just said, like, that's pretty useless, right? Like, you know, if I'm a CPG vendor and that's what I hear is like, you recognize that I have value, but you
don't care enough.
You don't care enough that you're going to just shove me in your endless aisle. I'll probably do it so I get some SEO out of it, but fuck you. I'm not, you know, I'm
but
not
what else would I do it for? What do I care? Like, you know what? At that point, I'll go to Amazon. You know why? It's all just an endless aisle. They don't have stores.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, they haven't discounted me. They actually want me on.
Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying is, you're a good guy and you're small, but our stores are way too important and way too special for you little people to be in. You know, you little people can go fart around online.
Well,
and I'm thinking, buddy, you need me more than we need you.
And we'd rather invest in boring, right? Like, we'd rather invest in boring because that's that's where all the money is, right? Like,
which is what Steve's sort of saying. Yeah. I mean, anybody stuck in the middle, boring, is just in that sea of sameness, which we've talked about, you know, ad nauseum, and I don't disagree with it. I guess what my I don't know what the, you know, I'm just in a mood, I think, today was the was more, I know, honestly, it was just more the fact that, you know, buddy, if 20% of retail is online by 2025, and you don't call that massively significant in a matter of 5 years, you've missed or 10 years, whatever the numbers, you've missed the idea. That is huge.
Yeah.
That number is massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
It changes everything. It changes everybody's habits. It changes what everybody does. Everybody's freaking out. My e-commerce course today was packed.
Like, I saw the pictures. It looked pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that yesterday was teaching retailers how to make 10 grand in the next 90 days, and that was packed.
Oh, that's that one, because that was packed too.
Yeah. And then today was just e-commerce is such an enormous topic, right? So I had 75 minutes, so I took 45 to do the lesson, and then I like the last 35 minutes was just questions, and it's just
you got probably later for a day.
Yeah, right. And like, and even then, I think I was just scratching the surface, right? There were a ton of questions around, you know, POS systems. Like, do you use Shopify? Do you use Venn? Do you use Square? Lightspeed? You know, all these guys, right? There was a ton of questions around that. And then there was just like, and it's funny, right? Because a lot of people were like, no, I need, you didn't cover that much social media. I need you to talk about more about social media and how it ties into your omni-channel strategy and all that stuff. And other people were like, oh no, I need more. You only talked about three things that, you know, people do to abandon your cart when you check out. Like, so it was just like, it was all over the place, but it was really amazing. Like, these guys are all,
They're trying.
yeah, yeah.
It picks up on what we talked about last week. I'm telling you, man. You know, people, you're right. I mean, you were saying last week, you know, it's not complicated, and I
Yeah.
get that, but it's so overwhelming because, again, you're still running a day-to-day operation, and they're thinking, you know, my God, I gotta go do all this stuff after, and what am I doing? Right?
Yesterday, I one of those really funny moments because the lady, one of the ladies who runs a small independent pet shop, said to me, because we were putting up, you know, kind of how you manage, like, once you pick your priorities. So it was a half lesson and half workshop. So we had retailers for like 3.5 hours, right? And so we did a half lesson, and then the other half was a workshop. And halfway through the workshop, she puts up her hand. She goes, like, I really get this, right? And I want to make 10 grand, but I gotta run a fucking store. Like,
Exactly.
how
What do you
do
want
I
me to
do all
do? You
this
want to drink
project
coffee?
planning and all this shit, like, when I gotta run my store, right? And you know, we're all laughing, right? Because the three teachers are consultants, right? We're all consultants, and we all do the same things, right? And we said to her, like, it is really hard, right? But there are moments when you've got to find the 15 minutes or whatever it is to, like, you know, to plot out your path, because
Yeah.
otherwise it's not going to get done. And like, that is more value to you, you know, than chasing down the store all the time, you know? So,
Yeah. Well, it's more value to you in the long run. The challenge, and I know what she's saying, yeah, that's great. But in the short run, that end needs to be filled. You know, Becky and Joey phoned in sick today, and you know, whatever the issues are, you know, the POS went down, Interact's down, it's all that. You know, and there's X amount of hours in a day. And again, like we talked about, it's not that small business people are making trillions of dollars a year. You know, so they're managing what they can manage, just trying to find, you know, a cost-effective way and time-effective way to maybe do it. You know, you don't want to be really disruptive. You know what disruptive is going to be is the person who can figure out how to help people just at a low cost, but just help tons of them. Sort of the Walmart guy or the Amazon guy of small business solutions. Because as a consultant, you know as well as I do. I mean, I know my hourly rate's not massive, but it's enough to sink a little guy. Right? So what do they look at me and say, yeah, I'd like to, but you'd be thinking, well, I know, you know, but I can't do it for $10 an hour. I mean, $10 an hour, I can go work at, you know, the coffee shop and make tips. Why would I, you know,
Well,
so it's trying to find that
no, you, I
balance.
mean, now you make $15, right? An hour doing
And
coffee
tips.
and tips, right?
And
So,
still tips.
you know, it's funny. So two conversations that were pretty cool. Like, one was exactly that of, I quoted a lady, you know, she needed kind of social media campaign stuff, right? And so I quoted her number, and I, like, you know, I'm new at this, right? So I'm not padding. I hopefully I never get there, right? But I didn't pad my numbers. I literally genuinely gave her a number, and I looked at the number and went, this seems really small. Like, so I quoted her like 6 hours to help her set up, you know, framework around how you do social media, when you're supposed to do it, hashtags that you need, how, you know, like, kind of all the infrastructure that you need. And then, you know, some training time to show her some free tools, and like, you know, some really quick and easy ways to be able to put pictures together. So, you know, pretty reasonable. And she said, like, this, your rate's really high. And I said, look, like, I can cut it down a little bit more, but not a ton more, right? Because I gotta eat too. And then the thing is like, I'm trying to be really real about what you need. So, like, the packages that I've seen other consultants do are like, they're big packages. It's like, you gotta spend 6 grand with me over the next 3 months before you really see social media, you know, results come through. And I said to her, like, I know you can't afford that. So all I'm trying to do is give you the tools so that you're, you know, 6 hours after this, you won't actually need me, right? So if I was doing my job as a consultant, I shouldn't be doing that at all. I should be selling you a package of like $6,000 or $7,000. But 6 hours of this, I'll show you how to do this and you're gone. Like you'll never need me again.
I guess you know what it is. It depends on what they figure they're charging. And I'll tell you why. Because if you get a small business guy who calculates his or her hourly rate at $24 an hour by the time they do all their overtime, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I'm cheap. So like I go in at – I mean I don't care. I'll tell you because it doesn't really matter. You know, I go in at $100 an hour flat.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Right. And I tell people minimum 5 hour contracts.
Yeah.
I don't let long termers. I'm not asking you for the $10,000 in 3 months.
Yeah.
And in most times in 5 hours, 10 hours, I can get you enough information where, you know what, you can run. And if you need me, phone me, you know, I'm not billing like a lawyer. I'm not billing on the 15 minute. I mean, whatever, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But now I've had people say, well, that's high. I said, well,
that's not high.
That's cheap.
Not high. That's not even.
I said, I'm telling. I know people charge $250 to $500 an hour.
Yeah.
I said at that. I mean, after all the years of experience, I said, one, I have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I know what I know.
Yeah.
And you're asking me, which means you don't know. So what's it worth to you?
Yeah.
And at $100, it may sound like a lot. It's peanuts.
No, you're actually undervalued. You're undervalued.
I know that.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not a big deal. It's not that I don't care. It's I don't care. I mean, it's not what it was about.
Yeah.
It was trying to give people. But I mean, when people are arguing with that, you're thinking, Jesus Christ, you have no clue what the world's like. I mean, most people come in at $250 to $250, $300.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you want worth? No, it's worth.
True. It's true. It's true. Yeah.
You know, but I don't know how you tell people that because, you know, they're just not getting it. That if someone comes in $150, $200 an hour, that is super reasonable.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're not working 40 hours a week. And they got to get out of this mindset that, well, I'm making $75,000 a year. This guy's making $75,000 in a month.
No.
Well, no, because he's not doing this every single minute of the month.
Yeah. Well, and you've got to, these guys are, the sales guy is like, he's got to go out, you've got to go out and put stuff in the top of your funnel to like get people lead generate and all that stuff. So, I mean, I am new with this, but I figure like 2 weeks out of my month is going to be things that I can't bill for, right? Which is like invoicing and all that crap and like, and then finding new clients, right? Like being able to talk to them and spending, really like free hours giving away some free stuff so that they figure, hey, you know what, this guy's worth it. You know what I mean? Like, I should bring
listen,
him on, right?
I totally
like,
know what you mean because that's all I do.
Yeah.
You know, all I do. So at the end of the day, you might be putting in a 300 hour month, but you're not getting paid at the hourly rate.
No.
You build out maybe 80 of it.
Yeah.
Which basically now, when you look at it, it's the same amount of money that Mr. or Mrs. Pet owner made in the month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And no less work though, right? Like same work as if you ran a store. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just hard to get that through people's head, right? I mean, plus consultants get a bad name and well deserved typically.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bandits out there and a lot of a lot of people just charging exorbitant amounts of money you're a cash flow problem. I mean, I don't know why you'd want to do that to somebody, but I mean to each his own, I guess if you can get the money and the other person doesn't care, you can justify it well. I guess they could have said no. I just don't like doing business that way. I don't understand. I'm not that guy.
No, I don't like it. I mean, I feel like part of the magic is being able to help people do what they do, right? So it's kind of that how do you build so that you win and they win, right? Like,
well, that should be the whole game, right?
Number. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Man. Philosophical differences between a lot of people. It is what it is. Right? It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We actually have a question we need to answer.
I was going to say, I saw something from Jimmy come through the other day.
Yeah. Jimmy's putting us to work. So let me find it here.
You know what we're doing? We're going to bill him.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Exactly.
We're on to you, Jimmy. You're listening to us. We're on to you.
And I know what he's doing. He listens, then he gets his little piece of paper out. He takes his little notes. What do you think? I think we just fell off the turnip truck. Come on.
He's definitely doing it. Okay. So his question is, so this is from Jim at Shopland. And I know the other guy that, the two people that listen to us, Jimmy and Kent. Kent has a question too, but he hasn't asked me yet. So we'll probably have another question next week.
Okay.
But Jimmy's question is, in the new omnichannel world, what can a brand do to support the retailer that is selling their product? You talked about a brand having an online shopping cart and the retailer having an online shopping cart, but what can a brand do online to drive traffic to the retailer? There seems to be a wall between the online sale and the retailer. If a brand has a choice to sell into a brick and mortar retailer, shouldn't they drive traffic to that retailer? So that's his question. There's kind of, yeah, I mean, if you're a direct-to-consumer brand, you kind of have really clear outputs, right? Because you're able to drive traffic to your cart, to your e-commerce site. And then if you're a retailer, you can do the same thing. If you're a brand that sells to a retailer, it's not as clear because, and I apologize if you're a retailer and you're listening, but I think it's clear to them too, is that their online strategies are not that clear. So particularly, I think in Jimmy's case, if he's talking about big retailers, the big retailers right now want their cake and eat it, and they want to eat it too, right? So they want your physical promo money, but they also want promo money for online sales. And they're
Yeah,
not
they're
really
keeping it
looking
separate, and
for
they're asking for two buckets of money, and that's not reality,
And the
right? Your
truth
online
is,
world is your issue, not mine,
And well,
right?
and the issue
Pull
is
from one,
like,
put into the other.
promos are promos, right? Like it
Well,
doesn't
for me, it
matter,
is.
you
I don't
know,
care where
if
the
you're
flyer is, online, in store, not my issue. You figure it out. You're taking 10% out of me. You figure out which bucket it goes into, right? And that's where the challenge becomes is hard, right? Because they all think, online is O1A. And it's not over and
So
above.
there's a couple of things you can do. So one is if you fingers crossed you've got a retailer who has a clear digital strategy, you can work with them and funnel your efforts that way. The other thing that you can do is with or without the retailer, you can build your own online coupons. So you think of like the checkout cart. And then every checkout cart has that little line in it that says like, enter your promo code here, or enter your, whatever, here your, discount code. And so you can do that with almost any retailer, is you can go in and do a temporary price reduction and build a coupon code that they can build into their system that doesn't require any effort on the retailer's part. So that is something that you can do to drive more conversion that way, because if you can, and then what you can do is take that coupon code, and as a brand, you can advertise that in Facebook and Instagram, wherever you are, right? Like your direct
But
mail
that
stuff.
still only works is if my retailer, understands that this is for the mutual benefit of both of us. If you're going to charge me now $150, $250, $500 admin fee to do this, do you know what I mean? See that, and that's where the retailers fall apart again. When you start going in and nickel and diming and trying to figure out ways to charge for it, when you're already charging enough to get on the shelf. You got to use your head a little bit, right? These are the things that they're not massive code implications on your side. Just do it. Just do it. Every time you nickel and dime us, you know what happens? Back gets up. And it's getting to the point where we do have other options in today's world. It's not 10 years ago.
It's
Right? And
definitely
I'm with
different.
Jim. I'd rather stay a lot of times with a lot of the retailers. Right? But I'm not stupid and I'm not going to be taken advantage of.
I
Especially
mean,
now, because the power is coming, not coming back, but it's sort of swinging the other way, that the vendor community has some options.
I mean, no, it's definitely swinging, right? Like I think retailers, if they don't feel, it's weird, right? Because in the US they really do. They feel like they're under fire. They feel like they're in danger. I feel like the Canadian retailers don't feel any of that, even though it's right on top of them, right? Like it's right on top of them, but they're sheltered enough that they actually think that they still control a lot of it. The one thing I'll say to brands that are going to go through this and try and do a coupon code is what you want to do is approach a retailer like you would a manufacturer coupon. So
Right.
When you do the online thing, don't do it like a temporary price reduction, which they will charge you a ton of kind of admin fees and change fees and all that crap for. If you do it as a coupon code, like you were putting out a, I work for Dan and Yogurt, so when Dan would put out like, buy this and get $3 off your next Activia purchase, and you'd literally carry a coupon code into the store that they'd scan. That's something that the retailer shouldn't be charging you for. Because
You
it
know what,
should
though, if you
be,
do that, they will.
will
Because
they?
what they'll do is they'll, well, it'll either say it's a clearinghouse, and if it's not a clearinghouse to go through, they
Yeah.
create their own an internal clearinghouse.
Right.
So you know what? So they'll take, let's say, 12.5 or 13% or whatever it is,
So great.
that's handling fee.
Yeah.
And again, this is the part, and this is where I think, where vendors have to be a little bit more nutsy now
Yeah.
and say, you know what? You can shove your handling fee up your ass because you
Yeah.
know what? It's stupid. I'm
Yeah.
trying to help you as much as
Yeah.
I want to help me.
Yeah.
We're either going to do this together, or I'm just going to do it on my own
Yeah.
somewhere else.
Yeah.
You can't keep nickel and diming to death.
Yeah.
Your store problems, don't make them mine. I don't own the stores. I don't own your staff.
Yeah.
It's like all this bullshit we've been talking about Amazon trying to, with the Whole Foods
Yeah.
and, pay for space. And it's,
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Close some stores, figure it out.
Yeah.
But you can't keep expecting me. I pay for the service to be in you and the privilege to be in your store, and then you want me to pay again for the
Yeah.
privilege of doing something else.
Yeah.
I don't want these privileges no more. I'm
Well,
okay.
there's just not enough money for it, right? Like, there's no magic spout here, right? Like,
Or something like that.
you
There is a lot of money.
know.
I can charge $99 for a bag of popcorn. That's where the money's going to come from because someone's going to have to pay for it. And the consumer ultimately is the one who's going to pay.
Well, and the consumer is not willing to pay for it now, right?
Exactly. So it's
So,
going to have to bend somewhere.
yeah, it's true. It's
And
true.
again, I think that's where the article, and again, this is sort of built back into the article,
Yeah.
is when you start looking at, when you're talking about boring and see us saying this,
Yeah.
forget the physical attributes of the store.
Yeah.
It's all the other bullshit behind. You want to play with co-op models that are 30, 50 years old.
Yeah.
You want to pay with slotting fees that are 50 years old. Coupon fees, where we're talking about clearing houses that don't exist anymore for doing an Amazon code or
Yeah.
whatever code or a spot,
Yeah.
a Shopify code.
Yeah.
Give me this bullshit. You can't do that anymore.
It's
You wanted
true.
to see us saying this? You want to change? That's how you change. Don't just change. Don't worry about just changing the physical attributes of the store to make it unboring, whatever the hell that means. Make it unboring maybe for the other side. Stop nickel and diming me. The guy who
Well,
stops doing that is the guy I'm going to go right into bed with because that's the guy I'm going to love. Because then
but
I know that they're not bullshitting me when they say partnering. They want to do
yeah.
something. Because I love traditional retail still. It's not going to
But
come out of
I
my
think
blood, nor
that's but
yours.
I think that that is part of the change, right? Is the minute, like, I mean, there's a leap of faith there, right? Is that the guy who is going to change his store to look more unique, that's going to give you a better experience, that's going to, go with small, medium, kind of boutique brands versus, the CPG 100,
Right.
companies, is going to be behaving different than the normal co-op models and things like that. Now, I've said that, but we've also seen, Whole Foods, who had that model, go to
And now
the,
want me to pay for it.
money squeeze
Yeah,
model,
now
right?
so now again, so they got that model. This is how they run their business, but they still want me to pay for it. I'm thinking, well, this model's been precipitated by not me. And not you, by your consumer. So, sooner or later, you guys, if you're going to maintain the store, you got to own this, right?
It's
It's a tough one. And I read Jimmy's question, and then I thought, I'll wait for you to see what you think too. But I kind of thought, Jim, it's a tough one because, as a brand, it's only going to work if you can get a retailer that understands that it needs to be mutually supported. And again, if it's just going to be, you're just pretending it's another co-op bucket or, it's an over and above spend, well, screw you. I don't really give a shit. I mean, I'll find something else to play or somewhere else to play. I don't,
No,
the
that's
sad part right
absolutely
now
right.
is there's options.
I mean, yeah, Jimmy, I don't know if that that's probably the closest we get.
To me, that is sort of your answer. Outside of telling people that it is available in their stores, and you're pushing your social mediums that way.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult model to do, because ideally what you'd like to do is do what you said, is really drive in with a tangible reason to purchase.
Yeah.
That's how you help
yeah.
the retailer and your brand, is by physically moving that product.
Yeah.
But if the barriers of entry are going to be put up, and they're going to be using bricks and mortar arguments in a digital world.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. I'm getting that to the point where I just can't help you anymore.
Yeah. The really neat one. So one that I was talking about today, Jimmy, if you can try this with smaller, I don't know if this is your wheelhouse, but small indies, or like small independent stores, or like small chains, 3 to 5 stores, kind of under 10 store count, which I don't know if that's in Jimmy's wheelhouse or not, but
he probably has a few.
Right. What you can do is you could drive a ton of geofencing initiatives that drive people into the store based on where they're located. So what you can do, I'll use Snapchat because Snapchat is the most advanced and the easiest to set this sort of thing up. You can set up a perimeter in Snapchat where it says if you're within a certain proximity, you can get a special filter that you can take pictures with, or you can get a special coupon code because you happen to be in the area.
Yeah.
And that's what they call geofencing. It's kind of this. You set the perimeter of like 10 kilometers, right? And so anyone in that 10 kilometer radius that might receive a Snapchat blast from you would be able to, you could get them a message that says, show this to your local, your chain, hashtag 20% off, right?
Yeah.
Or hashtag Jimmy special 20% off. And yeah. they would literally walk into the store and go, I have the coupon code, and the cashier would bring it in manually and put that code or scan it and just go, got it. Like, now you get 20% off whatever the special is.
Yeah.
So you could do that, but you couldn't. I don't believe you can do that with like Walmart or London even. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just too
big for that.
I would
say that your chances of doing it with anybody who's not clearly defined. See, your comment at the beginning was what you had said before was, you know, when you're trying to find a retailer with a clearly defined digital strategy, that's fundamentally the first problem. And that's not
that's
the case.
That's a unicorn.
And it
right
is.
There.
And it's, you know, it's a hard, why that's hard though. And in fairness, and this is why we talked about it last week, you know, as digital as I can be, I'm on stuff. I'm still old school in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, You got to give, you know, traditional retailers have been doing the same type of retail for hundreds of years. This digital stuff that we're talking about is 2-3 years.
Yeah.
This is brand new. You're asking people to learn a whole different way to do business in a really tight period of time. That's really, it's not that it's unfair, that's a big ask. That's a big ask.
I mean,
so, you know, have a model around that. Shit.
Yeah.
You know, you're reinventing the wheel in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Snapchat stuff is so new. I mean, a couple of retailers have done it before. Nike is probably the first brand to ever do it, and they did it right after Super Bowl. So I don't know if you read that, but like after Super Bowl, they had a Super Bowl party, and they geofenced the area, right? And then if you were at the party, you could buy a pair of limited edition Air Jordans. So like 40 minutes. Do you know what I mean? But that is like, like in retail terms, that is lightning speed, right? Because that was February.
Do you know what that, I mean? That's not even like, lightning speed. That's beyond. But crazy. That's also, you know what? That's Nike.
That's plaid speed,
who the market
right there,
is.
Plaid speed.
Yeah, but come on, that's a company that knows its market, knows its demographic. Don't kid yourself. Most retailers have no clue shopping in their stores. Mm-hmm. You know, when any retailer, no different than what I say, 25 to 45 women. Wow, really? That's pretty razor like. Really?
Yeah. So
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so who are you targeting? You know, and then if you're talking like, especially with Jim's stuff, because Jim's typically much more involved in health.
Yeah.
And consumers of high, you're a higher propensity to use health products, obviously, when you're older. Definitively, more young people are trying to be healthy. I get it.
Yeah.
But a lot of gym stuff, let's say, is topical pain relief.
Yeah.
Yes, it might be targeted to a younger person, but realistically, mostly older people. So now are they on Snapchat?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
Can be on Facebook, definitively.
Yeah.
You know, 45 to 55-year-olds, Facebook, no issue.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.